Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, welcome to Turn the Page, Syosset Public Library's podcast. Today we have a special author with us, but first I'm going to introduce myself. I am Evelyn Hershkowitz, Reader Services Librarian, and with me today I have another one of our librarians.
Hi, I'm Jessica. I am the Community Engagement Specialist and Librarian at Syosset Public Library.
And today our special guest is...
Hi, I'm Emily Liebert, author of Perfectly Famous, among many other books.
And we are so happy to have you with us, Emily.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's a great read at this pandemic where we need to take ourselves away from what's going on and bring ourselves into another world and another place and twists and turns and all fabulous things going on. So, Emily, why don't you tell our listeners what Perfectly Famous is about?
Sure. So Perfectly Famous is about two women, the first of whom is a very, very famous crime author named Ward DeFleur. And at the beginning of the book, you find out that her teenage daughter, Stevie, has been abducted and killed. And she flees her very quiet, affluent town in Connecticut, and nobody can find her. She reneges on her book deals. She goes into a state of depression, and she doesn't want to be located. Enter a second woman named Bree Bennett, who is a former journalist, recently divorced. She also has a teenage daughter, the same age as Stevie, and she is suffering from a very different kind of void in her life, which is no longer being married, having a teenage daughter who she feels no longer needs her, and she's looking to fill this void. So she decides to find her favorite author, Ward DeFleur, and tell her story. But unfortunately, in doing so, she gets entangled with Stevie's killer. Dun, dun, dun.
And then all these twists and turns and what you're not thinking is going to happen happens and craziness. So this is your fifth novel. Is that
this
correct?
This is my sixth novel, Okay. Seventh book.
Oh, okay. So
hard to keep track.
The one in the drawer? Is there one of those that never made it out to the public?
Nope.
No, good for you.
There are seven published books.
Fabulous. That's one.
Six published novels, seven published books. None in the drawer.
Okay, that's great. And last year's Pretty Revenge was also a big hit also.
Yes, and today is actually the birthday of Pretty Revenge, the one-year birthday.
Ooh, happy birthday to Pretty Revenge.
So and that's a child's birthday.
Delicious title, by the way.
How does this year differ from last year when you were out with the book?
Well, it's definitely a very, very different experience. This has been a completely virtual book tour for Perfectly Famous. So I think it has its negatives and it's positive. The negative, of course, is that I love to go out and be able to meet readers and talk to people. It's definitely, I'm not gonna lie, the one time of year that's a little bit of an ego boost because typically people say nice things to your face. When they go online, that's a different story. But they usually say nice things to your face. The bonus and positive of it is that suddenly anybody in the world can come to and join your events because you're not in Vermont or in New York or in Connecticut. So that's been really nice because you can kind of cast the net much wider. And also virtual events are easier to set up than in-person events. So I've been able to just do so many more of them, which has been also really nice. I'm still hoping to do some in-person events at the end of the summer, beginning of fall, assuming that there is not any kind of second wave in New York and Connecticut.
Yeah, the only author I've seen that's done that so far is Ellen Hildebrand.
You are right.
I mean, I was so impressed by that because nobody else is venturing out. And she even went to California. I mean, she's been
She's amazing.
Yeah, I'm very impressed by that. Well, I wish you luck. I hope that you're able to get out there and go to, I'm sure you have local bookstores by you that you probably would like to go to.
I do.
Sign some copies, get your book out there. I mean, I'm sure it's getting out. The virtual has been amazing for us. I mean, we've been able to speak to great authors and audiobook narrators, and we've been enjoying this very much.
I'm sure. It's so fun.
Yeah. So how did you get into writing? Did you always want to be an author?
I always was a storyteller from a very young age. Typically, I would go to camp or school or a friend's house, and I would come home and regale my parents with every detail of everything that had happened to me, possibly sometimes slightly exaggerated. But I love telling stories, and from a young age, I knew I wanted to be in the world of journalism in some way. So I got my start in television at ABC News working for Peter Jennings.
That sounds like a great job.
And then I went to become a magazine editor-in-chief after that, and I did a ton of freelance writing for magazines and newspapers through the years. I was a travel writer for many years. I still write a travel and books column for Motley Media, which runs all of the Connecticut-based magazines. So that's fun. I like to just sort of like keep that in my world.
So is that freelance?
What?
That's still freelance. So
I'm the books correspondent for them. So I just have my own.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I have my own travel and books column in each issue of the magazine. Right now, it's just a books column because nobody's traveling.
Right, of
course.
But
when that picks back up again, I will add back in the travel piece of it. And then I got the opportunity to edit a book for my good friend, Carrie Kennedy, who is Robert Kennedy's daughter. And after that, I had the bug to write my own book. And I wrote my first book, Facebook Fairy Tales, and onward, 7 books later, here I am.
That's so great. Good for you. So how was that editing Carrie Kennedy's book?
Oh, it was a great experience. I mean, Carrie was a good friend of mine prior to it and still is a very good friend of mine. In fact, I am giving a portion of the proceeds of Perfectly Famous to the Robert F. Kennedy organization, Human for Human Rights. They do a ton of amazing human rights work. When my book came out, it came out on Blackout Tuesday, which I don't recommend for anyone who's publishing a book. But
yeah.
It was extremely important to me that I honor that in some way. And then I also take the time to figure out where the money is best spent. I really wanted to put my money where my mouth was. I didn't just want to go on social media and start posting memes about something that I hadn't been posting about a week before. I thought that seemed inauthentic for me. So I decided immediately that I was going to donate a portion of the sales to some kind of organization that was helping Black Lives Matter. I called my friend Carrie and I said, I want to know that you're doing specific work for Black-led businesses, organizations, communities. And she said, we absolutely are, 100%. She assured me that the money would go to the right place. And so that is what I am doing.
And that's a great way to use the momentum from, you know, the book to bring attention to something that is sorely needed. So, I mean, you really just, it was almost like, you know, like the book came out on Blackout Tuesday. And as you said, you don't recommend that, but you kind of took that and turned it around in a way to make that positive to the cause and the purpose.
Yeah.
So that's very, that was a very good pivot, I would say, or redirection. Do you generally like to read twisty turny books as well as writing them?
I do. I do. And what I specifically love is when I cannot predict the twists and turns, because I think as an reader of those kinds of books and an author of those kind of books, it's very hard to surprise me. but there are authors who do it, and I am always happy when that's the case.
Yeah. Did you read The Last Flight by Julie Clarke yet?
I didn't, no, but okay. I will put that on my
put
TBR
that on your list.
List.
From what I see, I think next week it's going to be on the bestseller list, so it's definitely picked up speed, and it was amazing.
Oh,
let
nice.
Me know if you could figure it out, because I cannot.
I will. Yeah. I'll read it and get back to you.
Yeah. And are you a planner? Do you do a whole outline, or do you know right from the beginning who's going to do what, who's killing who, who's keeping who alive? And
so I had always written outlines for my previous books, and for whatever reason, when I went to write Pretty Revenge, which came out last year, I decided I was going to be a pantser, not a planner, and that I would just see where it took me, you know, fly by the seat of my pants, just write, and that it would all flow from me. That was not a good idea for me.
Okay.
And what ended up happening was there was a much heavier editing process on the back end, and I really ended up, I would say, overhauling the book 2 to 3 times, which is not something any writer wants to do. Mm-hmm. And specifically, I did not want to do that, but I had to because it needed to be done. So with Perfectly Famous, I went in the absolute opposite direction, and I wrote a 30-plus page outline,
wow,
which mapped out all of the twists and turns with the exception. Well, no, I'm sorry. It did map out the ending, but I changed the ending as I was writing the last line.
Oh, wow.
So I stuck to the outline completely right up until that last line, and then I changed the ending, and I have come to know from everything that has been provided to me in the way of feedback that it is a polarizing ending, and that many people love it, and right, other people feel that it is unresolved and are hoping there will be a sequel. There are no plans for a sequel at this moment. I am already writing my next book, which is not a sequel to Perfectly Famous. That said, I like to keep my books open-ended at the end because there is that opportunity for a sequel. And personally, I don't like tying everything up with a pretty bow at the end. It's just my way. People disagree clearly. And right, I am well aware of this.
That's really interesting because it sounds like that ending then was really almost like a thriller for you.
It was.
Did that
thrilling.
Surprise you?
It was. That's so accurate. It was thrilling, as thrilling for me, I think, to do that as I hope it will be for the people who read it.
That's awesome. I have to say, you know, I became a librarian. You were talking about loving stories. I became a librarian because I love stories. Years and years ago, there was a time where I thought that I might write, but I realized that my part in everything was stories and bringing them to people and connecting people through stories. And it's so exciting to me to be able to speak to authors and hear about their processes. That's just, and that's really cool. I have to say, that's one of the coolest things an author has told me personally on a podcast episode. I got really excited when you said that. I'm like, what? Which you probably said when you were like, and I'm changing this.
Yep, and I think my editor was like, whoa.
The characters just spoke to you, huh?
That piece of the book felt unresolved to me. And all of a sudden, in that moment, it just made sense to me that that was what it needed to be.
And
I've always wanted to do that because I love reading books that have that shocking last mm-hmm. line that you're like, and Kimberly
Wait.
Bell is an author who does that a lot. So mm-hmm. I guess I was emulating her style there. Mm-hmm.
Right. You like the reader to have to go back and say, wait a minute, what happened? And they
right.
got to read it over and over again. Wait, what? Like,
and I did actually, once I changed the ending, I did go back and set it up a little more throughout the mm-hmm. book because otherwise it just would have seemed completely out of left field.
Right.
But yeah.
Right. And how many hours a day do you typically write? Do you have a schedule? Or I know you
yeah.
have young boys. So
I write only when my kids are at school or at camp, except in a pandemic. That's although really they are at day camp now. But they usually get on the bus for school at around 8:15. So I'm somewhere, I always say somewhere between the hours of 8:30 and 3:30, I do my writing, which usually takes 3 to 4 hours. I get in a workout on a good day, and I like do whatever errands need to be done. Like I'll get dinner for that night. And then after the writing and that stuff is done is when I return like longer emails that need more attention or have conference calls. I have a lot of calls with LA. Pretty Revenge was optioned for a television show.
Oh, congratulations. So,
and to do that later in the day because they're 3 hours earlier.
Right, right. Oh, that's so wonderful. We wish you a lot of luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, grain of salt, you know, an option is an option and you hope it makes it on the air, but it's always exciting to know that someone even thinks that's a possibility.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, it's been amazing how many books have been done as TV series, especially like Netflix series and Hulu series. Most recently, what was it? Little Fires Everywhere.
Yep.
Is
on Hulu. Yeah.
On I think Hulu. With all these cable networks and yeah. channels now, it's like there's such a need for content. And mm-hmm. when you can just use a book, it's already done for you. Right.
Absolutely. And it's interesting to see how they break these books up into like mini series, because in the past you would get, you know, like your John Grisham book, for instance, every other year as a movie. But now you find these books that are almost being held under a microscope and made more episodic. And you know, I think like in recent memory, I think You by Carolyn Kepney is one of those books
yes.
that I don't know if it was on a lot of people's radar before the Netflix series came out, but then it ended up having a second season. And now she's apparently writing a third book and there's going to be a third season. So it almost became like its own wheel, just you know, yeah. spinning. So I wish you luck with
Thank
that.
You.
And that sounds pretty awesome.
We'll look forward to watching that, whatever channel it's on. Well, one thing, did you ever read Defending Jacob?
No, you have
okay.
a lot of good
so Defending Jacob was
Where am I? I've been under a hole.
Evelyn is one of our absolute best readers services librarian. So if you're sitting at the reader's desk, you are sorely deficient to Evelyn's knowledge of books. Like someone will come up and they'll be like,
I can see that.
I'm like, this. And then they're like, yeah, no, is Evelyn there? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not Evelyn. Evelyn's too awesome for words.
Well, thank you, Jessica. That's just
so kind
of you.
From you, but Evelyn. I'm going to get a list from you.
Okay, nope. Just follow me on Goodreads.
Oh, there you go. I will.
But the thing I just want to say to you is, Defending Jacob had an unbelievable ending in the book.
Okay.
I didn't watch the TV series. I don't have Apple TV. But I heard they changed the ending. So just be careful with your endings. You don't want them to do that.
Isn't it interesting to see what they change? I mean, as you were saying in Little Fires Everywhere,
yeah, that was,
made
it was very different.
Kerry Washington character black.
Right.
And she wasn't black in the book. And
no.
What I just found interesting about that is it added a whole racial
whole other element.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the show
wonderful.
That wasn't
I mean,
a part of the book.
There's like,
right.
there's nothing that she can't be, that she isn't wonderful in. So.
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, I thought it was amazing and I thought it actually was a really good adjustment that they made. And it's funny as an author, cause I've had books option before and, or people, you know, tell me the things that they want to change. And sometimes you really are like, God, I wish I had thought about that when I wrote the book, you know?
I feel like this whole world, and it's so funny how this podcast has kind of like diverged into this. I've been noticing that a lot of books that in the past might have been adapted to movies work better as TV series, you know, from like a children's perspective, because I was a children's librarian for many years, and Evelyn and I sit on the children's desk together on Wednesday nights. When they adapted a series of unfortunate events into a movie, it was beautiful to look at, but it didn't really work. And I remember being like, this is a really difficult book to adapt into a movie. But the TV series with Neil Patrick Harris, who's another wonderful person who makes everything amazing,
yes,
was spot on. And then you have something, and I'm going to call out Rick Riordan, who is famously opposed to how they adapted the Percy Jackson books into a movie. It didn't work, and it should have, but now it's going to be a Disney Plus series. Right. So I'm very glad to see all of these adult books being worked into TV series, because I think that, you know, when people say the book is better, I think that it gives a chance for media to really come forward and make a good adaptation of a book. You're not as pressed for time.
Right.
You can really plan things out. I mean, I think one of the, you know, advantages, like if you have a book series, you could, and you're planning a series of movies, fine. But if you have like a self-contained novel or even like three novels, it makes it a lot easier to make sure that you add those little details that the director might have just cut because we just don't have time to put that in.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it definitely works. It works better in a TV series, absolutely.
And then it gets people to come back and look at the book too if they hadn't heard of the book.
Absolutely. So many books, after they've been a TV series, we can't keep them on the shelf.
They're just,
everybody wants to read the book and see the differences between the TV series and the book. Same thing with the movies. I mean, once it gets publicity like that, it seems to just boost the book again. I mean, we have that all
the
time.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're very good at making sure that our patrons get the popular books that they want. So we're aware of that. So now your book that you're writing now, when is that coming out? Next year? Do you do one a year?
I don't have a specific date yet, but yeah, it should be next year sometime.
You do one a year, huh?
Yep.
That's wonderful. Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's good because that just gives us more to read.
Exactly. Got to keep people interested and remembering who you are.
For sure. Did you have any more questions, Evelyn?
No, I think I'm good for now.
This was wonderful.
Very nice speaking with you.
Maybe next year I can actually come there and do an event.
That would be so cool.
You're in Connecticut. You're not far from us at all.
Not far.
Nope. You can come on down to Long Island.
Yep. I've done it before.
Okay, good. Have you been at other libraries down here?
No. Bookstores? I've just been to Long Island before.
Okay, good.
No, I don't think I've ever done it. I've done events in the Hamptons, but that's the only Long Island place that I've, only Long Island location.
The Hamptons is like its own
thing. It's funny, it's Long Island, but it's, yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny to me when people associate the Hamptons with Long Island, and I'm just like, and even like the people who like actually live in the Hamptons, like really like live there, they're like, yeah, that's not even our Hamptons.
Totally.
Right?
I know, even though geographically, yes, it is in Long Island,
right.
I don't actually think of it that way. The Hamptons is almost like an extension of New York City.
Yeah, it's very strange how that is, but it's true.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I love being out in the Hamptons, so I...
It's beautiful. It really is. It's just
love
like,
it.
It's such a...
If I could be out in the Hamptons minus all the people, I would be a very happy person.
Well,
and minus
what
the
I...
people and the $100 lobster salad, and I'd be
good.
Yeah,
that's expensive.
Well, what we were doing, we would go out from Monday through Thursday.
Yeah,
and skip the weekend so that
you
really
gotta, like,
do
cook
get
at
a
home, not
you get
go out
a much
the whole
more
scene
peaceful
and everything.
much more peaceful existence when you do a Monday through Thursday. So.
Yeah.
We love it out there. Yeah. So. But thank you, Emily. We really appreciate
thank you guys so much. This was so fun.
Please come back either virtually.
I will. I promise.
Awesome.
You don't have to ask twice.
Wonderful. So once again, this is Jessica.
Evelyn.
Our guest today,
Emily Lieber.
And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.